The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm Damon Jacoby.
What up,
we
y'all?
Are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
James Harden and the Rockets got a win against CP3 and the Thunder, and Giannis and the Bucks lost to the hometown Orlando Magic. But of course, we start where last night ended in the playoffs with the number 8 seed Trailblazers. They had to play in to get there. Shot down the Los Angeles Lakers with big shots from Dame and CJ and Melo at the end of the game. Jalen, I didn't see this coming. What did you see from the Lakers and the Blazers last night?
Jacoby, I enjoyed doing this program with you so very much because we get a chance to go deeper in the box score. And trust me, I have fans of the Denver Nuggets and Portland Trail Blazers hitting me up like, yo, y'all been calling them mama's boys for 7 years, holding them down each time they made the playoffs, regardless of the outcome with the Portland Trail Blazers. Dame has come on this show and let us know, Jacoby, he was not going into the bubble unless he was going to do something special. Well, he arrived. And I just want to say this as I go into my Dr. Fauci basketball breakdown scientist mode.
Okay. Okay.
There are going to be so many people, and rightfully so. You need KCP to make shots. He was 0 for 9. You need Danny Green to make shots. You hope that Caruso can make shots. But let me tell you what it's going to take for the Lakers to actually advance and or win the championship for those out there picking them, half-picked them, or rooting for them.
What's going
to take? Their two all-NBA players need to dominate. That's how this works. This ain't no big three. This is a dominant two, okay? This ain't what happened in Miami with three all-stars. This ain't what happened in Cleveland with three all-stars, okay? Both of those guys got to be getting around 65 points. And LeBron's stat line was fantastic. The triple-double was awesome. His court vision was terrific. He's passing guys open. He was out there looking special, playing big guard. He, in that purple and gold, a couple of times, he reminded me of Magic. I can't front. I was enthusiastic. But you know when I wasn't happy? When he was being guarded 15 to 18 feet away from the play with Gary Trent Jr. guarding him, and he not trying to go dominate and bully a bucket. That's what they're going to need. They're going to need Anthony Davis going towards the basket, okay? And I know that the Lakers like to play two bigs. Dwight Howard played some good minutes. JaVale McGee played some okay minutes. Their best chance in this series is AD at the five. I said on this show before the playoffs started, at least consider putting Kyle Kuzma in the starting lineup. If you're not going to start him, he has to play the lion's share of the minutes. I'll ask you, Jacoby, do you know who started at forward for the Blazers alongside Carmelo Anthony?
Gardier?
Gabriel,
okay. That's right.
Okay, yeah. A rookie that hadn't played all year. So, therefore, you can't allow Portland to steal those minutes with him or Hazonia. You got to have somebody going at them. And Kyle Kuzma is an aggressive scorer. I'm telling you, you got to get points against the Blazers. This is the only time they've won a game and they only scored 100. They held the Lakers to 93. Teams have been scoring 123 on them, dog.
Jalen.
The Lakers going to have to score and their two best players got to be dominant.
You're right. They could have been more dominant. You're absolutely right about that. But Jalen, this is not about LeBron and AD. This is about everybody else. It really is. Okay, let's say they get the 65 that you want from them. What were they short of that 65 that you wanted? Like 6 points? Where else are you going to get it? Look at the performance of the other players on the floor. Look at what they shot. 2 for 8 from three for Danny Green. Kyle Kuzma, 1 for 5. AD and LeBron combined 1 for 10. And then KCP, 0 for 5, 0 for 9 in the game. You just can't shoot that poorly. And these aren't bad shots. These are LeBron James probing the lane and kicking it to you in the shooting pocket when you're wide open from three. These aren't Luka Doncic and James Harden step back dribble shots. Like, these are people that get paid to play basketball that are open from the corner and the wing, wide open threes, and not knocking more than one down or two down. Like, it is not on LeBron James. Yes, could he have put his shoulder down and got to the bucket a couple more times? Sure, we want him to do that three more times. How many more assists do you want him to get?
Okay.
25, 15, okay. Or 15?
Okay. Let me go a different direction. I'll go Sanjay Gupta on this one. Okay. This is what I want, Jacoby.
Jalen Fauci.
I'll tell you what I want and what it's going to take unless the Lakers are going to get bounced in the first round. How about that? It's going to take LeBron James and Anthony Davis to – all right, I'll give you a football example. They're playing against a team that likes to air it out and run five wide receivers on first down in the red zone. The Lakers got to be a power running team in a lot of ways. They're not a great shooting team, Jacoby. Okay, no. And therefore, they're going to need LeBron and AD going towards the basket and dominating their matchups against Gary Trent Jr., Carmelo Anthony, and Gabriel and Hezonja. They got to try to foul those guys out. The Blazers are not deep. The only way you can get at their depth is to continue to attack the basket with your two best players, in particular LeBron James, who has the matchup. And then you know what's going to happen then? KCP shots will be a little more wide open. And I'm not
a little more wide open.
I'm not defending any adults who get paid to knock down shots KCP, I'll say their names. KCP, Danny Green, Caruso, they all need to make shots. LeBron and AD need to make shots. But I'm trying to tell you, in order to advance in this series, their two all NBA performers must be dominant, not good. And it wasn't six short. They only had like 51. They was way short.
Jalen, I did not walk away from that performance being like, you know what? We need more from LeBron and AD. I didn't walk away from that being like, we need more from LeBron and AD. I did not. I said, we need more from everybody
this
else
is in why Brooklyn I Gold. Hate stats.
Someone get Avery Bradley here.
Dog, when you get a chance, I want you to watch the game. Somebody count the number of times LeBron James at 6'9", 260 pounds, caught the basketball 15 to 18 feet away with Gary Trent Jr. on him. You know what you got to do right there? You got to swing through, punish him, and take a bucket. A couple of those dimes were awesome. They were great, but you got to pound him. And you know what happens when you do that? He and Melo might not have the legs late to make the three-point shots that they ended up making that became daggers. And then you can't play your two bigs. Dame Lillard, his nickname is Logo. He's pulling up across half court. You got to have a big that's going to get out there. You can't be playing two of them. That plays into Portland's hands. AD at the five.
I do agree with AD at the five. We do have to move on. One thing we always want to put a spotlight on is not just what happens on the court, but also what happens around the court. And take a look at these images of LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers as they arrive to the game. They're wearing sort of a remixed MAGA hat that says, "Make America bring justice to the cops who murdered Breonna Taylor."
I need one of those.
I'm sure you can get one, Jalen. I'm sure you can. Moving on to another surprising result in yesterday's contest, I should say, because this was the Bucks and the Magic. And this was the first game, and I did not think it was going to be close. And guess what? It wasn't that close early because the Magic just absolutely jumped out and blitzed the Bucks early on. The Bucks did come back. The Magic held on to win, powered by Vucevic. What did you think of this Magic performance and surprising result?
Congratulations, Adam Silver, NBA Commissioner Michelle Roberts, Players Association, Chris Paul. The NBA's done a fantastic job of putting on a terrific sporting event that's made for television. I like even watching the game and hearing the audio that makes the players feel almost like they would feel while they were in the arena. They've created the noise. It's more than just the virtual fans. And the reason why I bring this up is during this pandemic, we're sitting still. And when we lost basketball, we appreciate it now. So the Phoenix Suns, who didn't make the playoffs, now the world has paid attention to the fact that Devin Booker's a star, going to be a superstar, okay? The same thing is happening with the Orlando Magic. Vucevic been balling. TJ Warren averaged 20 all season, but we got so caught up in ring counting and only paying attention to the playoffs that we stopped paying attention to the regular season. And that's why I hate low management. So now there are going to be people, Jacoby, to wake up today and was like, Vucevic 35? Yeah, he always be killing. He was an all-star this year. He got a great left-handed hook. He can shoot the three. He rebound. And we talked about irrational confidence on this show. And this was the example we talked about. You saw Terrence Ross hanging on the rim. Mm-hmm. You saw him. You saw him hanging on the rim.
In the reverse. In the reverse.
Exactly. And so all 1-8 matchups ain't created equal. The Portland Trailblazers can eliminate the Lakers. I don't believe that Magic can eliminate the Bucks.
Absolutely not. And one thing I'm not going to do is overreact to game one wins. If you remember last year, because I remember exactly where I was when they were playing the Raptors and the Magic won game one against the Raptors. And I started to say to myself, maybe this can happen. And guess what? We all know what the Raptors went on to do. And it's probably more likely that the same thing will happen this year with the Bucks, that they lose the first game of the playoffs and win the last game of the playoffs, than it is that the Magic win this series. But it was a great performance. And it was another reminder that every single team, whether you're number one seed or the 16th best team in the playoffs, they're all full of professional basketball players. They can all put the ball through the hoop. And if you underestimate them or if you don't come out with the right energy, something like this will happen to you, because this was kind of a wire-to-wire win. This wasn't like they snuck it out at the end.
They waxed them.
This was wire-to-wire. They jumped out and blitzed them. Like, the Magic hit everything in the first quarter. And I didn't see enough from the Bucks. I didn't see like enough energy, enough urgency from the Bucks during this game. Giannis played pretty well, but they played pretty well against Giannis too. I thought they had a really good defensive strategy they executed, which brought them the victory. Jalen, what do you think?
Giannis got the numbers that you want him to get, and that should result into a victory. The problem is they gave up 122, and that's not Bucks basketball. They normally lock down defensively. And offensively, a couple of these guys have to consistently show up to play. David Jacoby, Chris Middleton playing alongside the Greek Freak has become not just an all-star. When you do it a few times, he's becoming a perennial all-star. So we're going to need him to show up consistently. Eric Bledsoe, when the playoffs happen, remember now, Scary Terry made a name for himself against Eric Bledsoe, showing up wearing jerseys good and point. Everything to the game. Okay, Eric Bledsoe got something to prove in these playoffs. He need the ball. Okay, Lopez got a ball. Okay, and Vucevic was an equal opportunity employer. He was giving all of them work. And so I'm pretty sure they're now going to regroup and understand they got to get their character back defensively, but they're still going to need those guys to make the shots that they made during the regular season and be productive.
Jalen, there's so much more to discuss. We have James Harden going off against his old team, and we also have some very revealing body cam footage of the incident between Masai Ujiri and someone who worked at the arena for the Warriors when they lost the championship last year. All that and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Burger King. Mix and match your favorites for just $5. And Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for the segment where Jalen decides what we discuss.
Woo!
It is.
Tang! Woo!
Keep it moving.
Tang!
If you want to discuss the topic, stay, hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. And we start with new video of the incident between a deputy and Masai Ujiri.
Hit the brakes.
Jalen, here is the video put out by Masai Ujiri's. This is the body cam footage put out by Masai Ujiri's attorneys. Jalen, what do you see?
Let me tell you what's very disturbing, Jacoby. The NBA has one black president. He's videoed right there. His team won a championship in an NBA arena. And one of the security people that work that night decided that they wanted to harass him as he went to the floor to celebrate the championship with his team that they had just won on the road. And it got me to appreciating the NBA right now, allowing the players to have different sayings on the back of their jerseys and Black Lives Matter on the floor. But like I keep telling you, I'm also keeping score about action that's going to take place in corporate America. And as much as
I want to believe that the civil rights movement has been something that's has been embraced because it's the right thing to do. A lot of what I know is it's been embraced because it's been forced on a lot of people. And with Masai Ujiri and this police cam, it reminds me so very vividly of this is the number one catalyst for change that Black people have been able to use against violence versus the police. If you look at a lot of those murders, Jacoby, including George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, they lie on the police report. Breonna Taylor, they flat out lie on the police report.
Jaylen.
And so now that people are seeing it on video, that's been a catalyst, the number one catalyst for change.
What I find most disturbing about this incident is the word countersuit. This video came to light of day because Masai Ujiri, after this incident, was actually sued. And the officer, the deputy, the sheriff's deputy that pushed him and then pushed him again before he was touched, walked away from that incident and said, you know what? I've been wronged. I've been injured. I need money from this person. And that forced Masai Ujiri to have a countersuit. It is disgusting that he pushed him in the first place. What's even more disgusting to me is he walked away from that incident and tried to turn it into a paycheck. Moving on. The Miami Heat won their opening round one, game one, against the Pacers. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Victor Oladipo left that game with an eye injury. Hopefully he can come back. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
It is game two of what was, in my opinion, the best game one that we had of the eight.
Hit the brakes.
Jazz against the Nuggets. Jalen, Jazz Nuggets game two. Of course, Donovan Mitchell had 57, but it wasn't enough to stop Jamal Murray and the stretch mark five, Jokic. What do you think happens when these two match up again?
I'm looking deeper into the box score and want to see the Denver Nuggets create that kind of pecking order of nine guys that they're going to rely on to do to play the lion's share of the minutes. I think them going so deep into their roster, playing 12 players so much, it doesn't allow them it seemed like sometimes too many guys have the green light, so to speak. And I think Jokic is that guy. I know Murray's that guy. Michael Porter showed me to be that guy. You know, they're playing without Barton. They're playing without Harris. So I just think they should funnel the ball through those guys and allow everybody else to play off that action. Then when Monte Morris comes in, he can get going, kind of do it that way.
Moving on, we have some Chase Young video that I really want to show you. Keep moving or hit the brakes. Chase Young was just playing at the Washington football team's O-line camp, and here's what he did to a grown man who gets paid to play football. You know which one Chase Young is because you watch him do that. Jalen, do you think he will have that kind of Bosa-like impact in his rookie season if they ever play football?
I think he will. And Jacoby, while I'm a Michigan Wolverine through and through, I do pay attention to who's playing on the other teams, especially when they've beaten you basically for the last two decades. And all of the guys you just mentioned, I got a chance to see up close and personal, and they're really good, and he is too. So the answer to your question is absolutely yes.
Well, things got extremely socially awkward for a new Hornets announcer, John Fock. Keep moving.
Hit the brakes.
He was tweeting about the game that we were just discussing and how great the Jazz Nuggets game was. And he didn't write the word Nuggets. He wrote the N-word. Jalen, I believe he did not intentionally do this. I've read the article about it where he says he did not intentionally do this. Do you think that he is still at fault for posting it in any way, shape, or form?
Well, here's what I believe. And I just got a new phone. And so when I saw this story, I was like, as somebody who stopped using the N-word in the early 2000s, I just decided I didn't want to use it because I didn't want people who didn't look like me using it. And sometimes when people who did look like me was using it in front of people who don't look like me, it kind of got awkward, especially in professional settings. So I stopped using it. So with that being said, I looked down at my phone, Jacoby, and I literally went to Twitter and I typed Jazz versus, And I was trying to get to what he ended up typing. And what I realized is my autocorrect didn't go there because I had never typed that on my phone. So what I would say to what you believe is, if he didn't mean to do it in this context, it's probably safe to assume that he's been typing that word on his phone.
I don't think that's fair.
Which is why he came up in that situation.
I don't think that's fair at all.
That's what I believe.
I don't think that's fair at all. I don't think that's fair at all.
That's what I believe.
See, this point, I feel bad for this guy because the I and the U are right next to each other, and the R and the T are also right next to each other. And he said he tried to get it out as soon as possible. And it just didn't work out for him. And he did apologize because one thing about that is if you write it, you should read what you write before you send it. And if I looked over something that I was about to tweet and I saw one of the most explosive, controversial, and disrespectful words in the English language, I would have made sure not to send it. Well, when we come back, we have a lot of basketball to get you ready for. We've got Embiid and the Sixers again against the Celtics and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, one game we haven't discussed from yesterday is the Rockets beating the Thunder. James Harden did his thing. What do you think this means for the future of the series?
This is why James Harden is one of the top five players in the NBA. They were one of the best teams in the West, regardless of CP3 or Russell Westbrook's arrival. Great job by Mike D'Antoni suffocating the mid-range where CP3 and the guards of OKC like to operate and grabbing boards and James Harden breaking down the defense. They can win this series if Russell Westbrook does not play.
Jalen, one of the most exciting games was the Mavs-Clippers, and the Clippers beat the Mavs. Wasn't enough from Luka. Can they beat the Clippers in game two?
I don't believe so. I think the Clippers are going to play a lot better offensively. I think they'll get a lot more ball movement. Look for Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell to start working themselves into the offense. I think this is going to be a five-game series at the most.
What do you think you're going to see from Joel Embiid in game two against the Celtics?
I think this series just got a lot longer without Gordon Hayward. So a dominant Embiid in the paint. That's what I anticipate.
That's a really good point. Enjoy all the playoff basketball. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. to wrap it all up.
Thank you.
Dan Levitard is next.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content. Jalen, you know what? We've been dedicating a lot of time to these podcast exclusives now. Ever since we moved to the 2 o'clock spot on ESPN. So I'm glad that we have the time to do this. I feel like the earlier time gives us more time to get to the podcast exclusive, and we will. And this is one of those, man, they won't let us talk about this on TV. I wouldn't even let us talk about this on TV. We deserve to be canceled if we talk about this on TV, but we can talk about it on the pod. And Jalen, I think you've been watching a lot of NBA basketball. You're not going to some of the websites that I go to where these things get covered, but there's a young lady who we'll call her a model, right? And she was on a podcast. Got to make sure I'm a journalist. Got to make sure I get this right. She was on the No Jumpers podcast. And she was told a story about her birthday. And she was partying and on her birthday. And she went to her hotel room just to enjoy some romantic company of a friend. Mm-hmm. And there was some NBA players that knew where her room was. I'm not sure if they had a key or whatever. And they came came inside the room. And it became a situation where, according to her, this is from her mouth, recording by a microphone, much like you're listening to mine now. So this is not no conjecture. This is just me telling you the fact. I heard it with my own ears. Did the research and the journalism on this. She said that she, one by one, filleted seven of the players on the team. In the hotel.
Wow.
Even though this is podcast exclusive, we still can get fired for it.
Was this in a bubble?
No, this has got to be pre-bubble. But I just saw it a couple days ago.
Got it.
It's pre-bubble behavior.
So this sounds like a road trip.
Yeah, most likely. I don't know. But let me just say that is not the kind of romantic experience that I enjoy. You know what I mean? If I have seven of my homies, like, I'd much rather be playing poker, playing some pickup basketball. Like, we don't need to be in a hotel room, like in a line, You know what I mean? Like we're at the buffet at the Golden Nugget. You know what I mean? Like that's not exactly what we need to do.
Or like you in the bathroom waiting on a stall.
Yeah, you know, yeah, in a baseball game or something. Right. Because you just strike up some conversation. Yo, you played well tonight, man. Remember that three from the corner you hit? Because you know it's after a game, right? So you know, they're just like, just trying to pass the time, you know?
And it's respectfully, and respectfully, Jacoby, I'm going to tell you a couple of incidents as an athlete that changed my decision-making growing up. I'm going to just be real because we're here to inspire and teach. We're here to inspire and teach. One of them is when my idol, Irvin Magic Johnson, caught HIV. Number one. Like now, when you hear the term HIV, it was a lot different than it was then. For those that don't know, he retired from the NBA and never really became that elite level player again. When he returned to play in the All-Star game, there were players in the NBA like Karl Malone that did not want him to play.
Well, he got cut in one game, and it was like like the world stopped.
Right. Our society has grown a lot with information and technology as it relates to HIV and AIDS. People thought that that was a death sentence. So at a time, practicing safe sex became a lot more of a focus and paramount. Because A, you didn't want to have babies out of wedlock, but then B, you understood you can get more than burned. You can get more than herpes. You could get HIV. And then Eazy-E also caught AIDS and then died right after that in hip hop. The other thing, Len Bias getting drafted, using drugs and dying before playing with the Boston Celtics. If I had to compare his game to somebody, I would say he would be a taller version of Kawhi Leonard. Mid-range, bullying people, locking down on D, catching lobs.
Bouncy. Bouncy.
Respectfully, I'll tell y'all, he was an animal. Just go on YouTube and watch him playing against Jordan and Worthy in college. He went to Maryland.
Mr. Revis, I don't know if you remember. We're not giving a scouting report.
Well, you can just cut me off. You're cutting me off.
You know?
So you're cutting me off. You're cutting me off. So I gave you the 10 minutes to tee up the story. And it's important for this to be said because it's about sex, okay, and it's about drugs. And so this young lady, if she's willing to perform those acts on y'all, that's likely not the first time that she's done that, which means that she may be carrying something to one, if not all of y'all now. So that's what I want everybody to think about. I know for you, that's not your cup of tea and your entertainment pleasure, and it's not mine's either, but I also wanted to point that part of it out.
Len Bias was a great basketball player. And I'm sure she would have enjoyed his company too, but it's kind of like the Jack Harlow thing, right? It's kind of like the Jack Harlow thing a little bit. It's like, it's one thing to do it, but it's another thing to like go on a podcast and kind of brag about it. You know, like that's Jacoby. Mental health problems. I think you have some mental health problems.
All right, Jacoby, let me peel back the onion. As somebody that's been in the public eye for almost 30 years, there was a period of time where people wanted the success and the rewards, but didn't necessarily care about the fame. As social media started to happen, people started to care about the likes and the follows. You can't just post something. You got to go back to it 100 times and see how many people liked it, how many people viewed it. It didn't even take place if it don't take place on the internet. That's now the approach for so many people. And I agree with you. It's flawed. How about this? Then you see people have success. I'm looking at the Kardashian name and the Jenner name. They turned it into a multi-billion dollar industry off of a sex tape. That happened off of a sex tape. Superhead happened wrote a book, did interviews, so what ends up happening is, in a lot of ways, while there are people seeking to be certain professions on the earth, there are people also seeking to do what those people have done and garner the success that they've garnered. I know it's not the thinking that you would hope for your daughter or son or whoever to have, but
no,
it does take place.
There's other ways to get your followers up. You know, there's other ways to get your followers up. And I feel like there is a, I did not know this woman's name before she went on this podcast and said all this. And now I do. And that's kind of what she wanted out of all of this. But it's just like, I feel like there's a,
how about this? You remember Cat Stacks?
I'm not here to kink shame. Of course I remember Cat Stacks.
Okay.
Of course I do.
We can go on and just name those people. That's my point.
What's wild to me is just like, that's, I'm not here to kink shame. Whatever makes you happy in the bedroom makes you happy. But being on the giving or the receiving end of that experience was not, it's not my cup of tea. Let's just say that. Being on either side of that exchange, it's really not my cup of tea.
Well, I like my situation more private and personal.
Yes. Yeah. A little intimacy. There's a reason they call it intimate. Yeah. Being intimate. I'm not here to kink shame. Whatever makes you happy. Yeah. If you want an audience or whatever, you want to hang out with your homeboys at the same time, that you're having a romantic situation. Correct. That's you, but that's not me. That's not me.
Just like Rico and Paid in Full. Just like Rico and Paid in Full. Same exact thing. Classic movie.
Yeah. I will also say that if you Google it, you can find out who the team was. I'm not going to say it on wax, but if you Google it, you can find out who the team was. And it seemed to be a chemistry builder. Let's just say that.
All right. Give me a hint. Builder. You don't have to tell me. Just give me a hint.
No, I can't. I can't. Because it could be Photoshopped and stuff. Because I saw the video with my own eyes and ears. You know what I mean? And we're journalists. We're serious journalists. I saw the video. I watched her say these things. But like you could Photoshop. Someone asked her and she responded with what the team was. But that could easily be Photoshopped. So I'm not going to fall for that.
Yeah.
But okay. Cool. One of our serious journalistic researchers says that she made $22,000 on OnlyFans based on that video going viral yesterday.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
I mean,
sex is an industry.
That's what it is now, I guess, nowadays.
Porn has been the longest standing profession since the beginning of time. So people see the finance in it.
One thing that I always want to say also, this is also too hot for TV. This is also too hot for TV. One thing
like
I want to say is
taking pictures of people when they're in the bed.
If it's good, if we talk about it a lot off the show, then it's going to be good on the show. And we're going to talk about Hornets announcer John Falk. You accused me of getting emotional about the story because we discussed it during the break. So explain to me how you felt when you said that.
So a couple of things. The announcer for the Hornets was tweeting about the Jazz about to play against the Nuggets. And I have a new cell phone. I stopped using the N-word. Almost 20 years because, and I'll say what I said on the show for those who didn't see it and hear it on the show, or I just want to say it again because it's important to me. I stopped using it because I had friends like Jacoby that didn't look like me that I don't want to use it, but I feel like it makes everybody uncomfortable when I have somebody that does look like me having a conversation and we're saying it to each other in front of you. That was my logic. And plus, I realized that I was using that word and cursing like a sailor playing for the Bulls, a 10-win team when I got there in February and I saw myself on video. I was like, I'm just going to stop cursing. I'm just stopping everything. And so when I got this phone, Jacoby, I tried to tweet what the announcer tweeted. I put Jazz versus N-I. No, it didn't come. Mm-hmm. Other words came up. N-I-G. Other words came up. And it didn't even come up on my phone. And this is called a smart device. And there are multiple times where I'm trying to email and when I'm trying to text,
it has no problems auto-correcting me. So what it brings me back to is for him to be allowed to tweet that, I'm not even talking about the proofreading process as a professional, talking about his job.
Yep.
I'm talking about to do those words on your phone. The only way, in theory, I believe they can happen is if you've already typed those words in your phone. What's your thought about that?
So I'm reading about it, right? And I read this article from the Charlotte Observer that says it was not an autocorrect mistake, that it was like a just a missing the keystroke, the I being next to the U and the R being next to the T. Now, I don't think, number one, I think it's absolutely preposterous that he had meant to use it, right? Because if using it in that context as an NBA announcer is just wild, right? So let's just say he didn't mean to. He wasn't trying to make a joke about the Nuggets, right? Like, now, I don't know enough about the algorithms and when autocorrect does correct what you say or doesn't correct what you say. You know, I know that mine says ducking all the time in tweets. And what I'm really trying to say, or not tweets, in text, and what I'm really trying to say, it kind of like doesn't let me say, you know what I mean? So it's not like if you use a bad word, and I'm sure that in their algorithms, that is a word that they do not have for you to use. It's a bad word. If you use that, it's not like they let you if you use it a lot, because I actually had to save in my contacts what I'm trying to say when it says ducking, right? But I also think that it is fair for him to be punished because he is wrong, because it's such an explosive, controversial, impactful, emotional, disrespectful word that even if you use it on accident, there should be some punishment there, you know? But I think that for him to walk around and being characterized as someone who did say that word, I think it's a little unfair for him. And if I'm trying to say New York Knickerbocker, right, and I say it wrong, do you think I should be punished if I say that word wrong?
Well, a couple of things. You asked a few questions. I'm going to answer them. And it's important to have these open forum conversations with people that you love of the opposite race, because that's how you get to a solution. And all white people and all black people, regardless of what Joe Biden say, don't act in a monolith. Like, we don't. And so that's an apples and oranges argument, because if you're trying to type Knickerbocker or you're trying to say Knickerbocker and you say the wrong thing is one thing. Typing the wrong thing is something else, because you have to type it. You have to look at it. You have to read it, comprehend it. Then you have to send it. That's a lot different. And I agree with you. And you know, I'm not a fan of the quote unquote cancel culture of when somebody makes a bad choice or a bad decision or says the wrong thing, especially if it only harms themselves, that we should just ostracize them from society. Like, I don't feel like that in his case. I do feel like he deserves to be punished. And unfortunately for him, though, that punishment may come uniquely positioned because there is one black owner in the NBA and it happens to be his. And he also covers a sport that's 74% black. So it's not going to be a good look for him to have that in his history. Now, what I want to get back to with you is the explanation part. And this is what, as a black person, that's why I said you sound emotional about the topic, because you didn't want to make it, and I'm paraphrasing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't want to make it feel like you were going to defend somebody that is white saying the N-word. And what I was saying to you is, what that explanation is, for me, it's an excuse when you tell me how close the keys are together. So if you're typing in, let me finish. You get a chance to respond.
if I'm typing Nuggets and I'm typing in and then I want to type you, I don't know how you get to I. I'll let you tell me how we got to I. I'll let you know. I'll let you tell me how we get to I. If you don't type GG, ETS, I don't know how you get to ERS. Unless you've typed that before. What do you think?
I think if the two letters are right next to each other on the keyboard. So are you trying to say, let me ask you a question. Are you trying to say that he intended to write that word?
I'm trying to say I believe it's a word that he was allowed to type in his phone because he's already typed that word in his phone. As I look down at my phone, you and I could do this exercise together. I want you to type Jazz on Twitter, type Jazz versus, and then you try to type the N-word. It does not allow you to do it.
I don't want to. I really don't want to. I might also, one thing, again, I don't know.
It does not allow you to do it.
Let's speak from points of expertise, because neither of us know how the phone works, right? Sometimes a capital letter up front will kind of allow you to write whatever afterwards.
No.
Oh, you do know how the phone works? Oh, now you're an expertise in the algorithm of autocorrect?
No. Hit the
No. And you're like, no, but let me speak. And then I go for 45 seconds, and then all of a sudden it's no, I got to talk.
Because I have to correct you when you distort the facts. Because now you're saying phone. Before you were saying computer keyboard. Those are two different things.
Oh my God, Jalen. The layout of the letters is the exact same thing on the phone and the keyboard, just so you know.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Which means if somebody out there, and you probably shouldn't practice this because I don't want you to mess around and press C.
No, that's what I'm saying. You asked me to do it just now. You're like, Jacoby, take out your phone and go on Twitter.
Yeah, you don't even want to. That's not a good idea. You don't do that. You don't do that. So you don't want that in your phone. You don't even want that in your algorithms. You know, one of your kids might get the phone, anything.
I just tested it in the Google Doc and I feel bad about it.
Yeah, but here's the point, though. Here's the point. I don't believe that he's a malicious human being that just doesn't like black people as he covers a black sport. I'm not taking here's what we learned over the last 475 years. I don't take that personal. Like, I ain't mad if he does use the word. See, I'm different. I am not mad if he used the word. You know what I would be mad at? Is if he only did it in the closet. That's where we don't get progress. If you want to use it, use it. Own it. That's all. Say it with your chest. That's all. So I don't think that he shouldn't have a career or he's a racist or I don't even have to make those sweeping judgments. Like he tweeted something that he shouldn't have tweeted, and like, you would tell a high school person, a high school student or a teenager, for that he should be punished. But I don't
think I believe
he should lose his career.
Tweeting that word should come with punishment, whether intent or unintentional. I believe this is truly unintentional. And I can't speculate of whether or not he uses the word a lot and whether or not he uses it a lot in his phone. And that means that his phone allowed him to do it. Because I think the capital letter up front probably has more to do with that than anything. But I don't know how algorithms work with Twitter and Apple and all that. But what I do know is I think that there's a part of me that's like, oh, man, we're going to be discussing this dude all day long. And this could the intention was not to use the word. And now he has people like you speculating that, oh, well, he must use it in his phone a lot. So now there's people being like, oh, well, he used it in his phone a lot. It's the only way that he could tweet it. So this dude, let's imagine he's never used the word before, right? Let's imagine he's never used a word before, okay? Ever in his life, but he's never written it or never anything. And then it's like, oh, okay. Well, now he's got people with platforms sort of associating him with using that word in an intentional way. Which I think could be unfair, but I don't know his personal life. I don't know how he feels or what words he uses or doesn't use.
Yeah, that's the one thing about being an adult. Like, we're responsible for our choices, and life changes when all of your bills are in your name. And we can't make him a victim because he tweeted it. Here's where you can make him.
He deserves to be punished.
Let me finish. Let me finish. We can't make him a victim. It ain't like he lost his phone or somebody hacked his phone and saw it in the phone. He allowed us in by tweeting it. He allowed us in. He tweeted it.
I think if you tweet that word, you deserve to be punished.
So, correct. So this idea that people are now saying his name, I'm saying his name because he tweeted it. This idea that people are now speculating that he may be using the word, we're not speculating. We're trying to figure how he could do such a dumb thing.
What's his name?
I don't know his name. Okay. Because I can't lie. Just like the first, I'm glad you asked me that. That I don't know the first black GM for the Washington football team's name either. You know why? Because those things, I appreciate the progress, but I'm not about to celebrate NASCAR taking down the Confederate flag. Trust me, as race relations have continued to change in our country, trust me, black people look at a lot of this stuff and we laughing at them. Like there was a period of time where, oh, look, there's the skinheads or, oh my God, we got to cross the street when we see white people. It ain't like that no more. So we laughing at them. He can use the word all he want. Just say it with his chest.
Well, I'm glad we get the time on the pod to talk about it. And let's move on to our voicemails. Those are a very important part of this program. We need you to contribute. Tell them the number to dial, Jalen.
98580-JALEN.
98580-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put on the show just like this.
Jalen, Jacoby, what's up? It's Ari from Baltimore. So I need advice from you guys. So my girl, she's really, really, really scared of coronavirus. Like, won't go outside the house, won't go out to an outdoor dinner, won't do anything. And I'm honestly getting a little frustrated. Like, I just want to go out, not even necessarily see people, you know, just go out with her on an outdoor bar, just go out to dinner, go on a walk, but she won't do anything. Am I in the right to be frustrated about that? Or do you think I should respect her wishes of being, you know, kind of scared to go out in this time? All right, thanks, guys.
I've got advice for this gentleman, because everyone has a different level of risk tolerance when it comes to exposure to coronavirus, right? Everyone's got a different level of it. You can just stay inside your house, have things delivered to you, spray down everything that comes inside the house and sanitize it and wash your hands every 10 seconds. And you can do everything perfectly right, right? Or you could also be one of these people that, you know, I heard there was a rave in Brooklyn indoors over the weekend. You could go to a rave in Brooklyn and surround yourself with other bodies and screaming at each other. You know, droplets everywhere and breathing them all in with no mask on, right? There's a spectrum. And she obviously falls closer to the former. But not all outdoor dining experiences are created equally in this spectrum. And I live in New York City in Manhattan, and I see lots of outdoor bars. They've let everybody take up a lane of the streets. So there are some places where they are separate. Some places where they're not. Some places where you're on the sidewalk, where strangers are walking by you. Some places are set back from the sidewalk and they feel more safe. So what I would do to you is say, make a compromise. Find an outdoor dining experience that she is comfortable with. Picnics are great for that. Go get some pickup, take it to a park, put a blanket down, and now you're having an outdoor dining experience. You're just not next to other people that aren't wearing masks. So I would say, make sure that she's comfortable, number one, and two, tailor an experience that will get you what you want, but also make her feel comfortable the whole time.
I echo what Jacoby said. Picnic is the word, depending on, you could go to a park. You can just go under a tree. You know, there are creative ways you could do it. Get you a cooler, get you some beverages, some adult beverages if you participate, some medicinal if it's legal where you live, pollute the air. And just enjoy.
There was a story that we haven't done on the show. They don't really have a lot of supporting video or photos, but it's medicinal vending machines in Colorado. Colorado is a recreational legally place, but there's a reason there's no like vending machines for beer. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I feel about this. I hope you have to like scan your license or something. You know what I mean? Because I remember they had vending machines for cigarettes back when I was a kid. Like, these are old. You remember the ones, Jay, because you're old too, with that knob on the bottom that you pull out. And then the pack of cigarettes usually doesn't even have a hard pack. A soft pack comes down. And it's like, it was like $1.50 a pack at the time, maybe even a dollar. Like, I may or may not have found one of those on the second floor of a restaurant where there was nobody around and put some money in there and came out with some cigarettes when I was like 14, 15. So I don't know if medicinal vending machines are a go. That's all I have to say about that. Moving on.
Here's how I feel about vending machines. So as an adult, right, it's our job to try to make decisions to protect the youth and try to keep them as innocent as possible. And there's certain things to me that you, Jacoby, and or people, I'll say people listening to the pod, anybody that can hear my voice, I'm not going to use you as an example. There are certain things you may do in front of your kids and you may not do in front of your kids. And here's my challenge. Do you drink in front of your kids? Have a beer, yes. Have a cocktail, have some wine?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. For the smokers out there, do you smoke in front of your kids?
I don't smoke, but that's an interesting proposal.
And if the answer is no to that question, that's why it may be something that you may choose to do, but may reconsider choosing to promote. Because if you don't want to do it in front of your kids, please don't promote it to mine. Is that fair to say?
Of course. And I also think that something I found really interesting is guilt is a really good indicator that you did something wrong. If you're thinking about something, it's going back and back over your head, you know, it's usually a good indicator that you did something wrong. And I feel like if you're not smoking in front of your kids, but you smoke cigarettes, you should really consider the meaning. If you're hiding something in your life from the people that are closest to you, you should consider why you're doing that. You know, that's how I
feel.
Well said. Because all right. Again, you call 985-80-JALEN.
And for the people who listen to this program, I'm going to add this word to the lexicon for the smokers out there. Polluting the air. Go ahead and continue.
What up, though? Jalen Jacoby, what's going on? It's Joe Ron. Just calling out of Charlotte right now. Just had a quick question. What do y'all think about Dame Lillard, Dame Dollar being compared to the next Allen Iverson? Think about it. Let me know. I want to hear this. Peace to the Half Moon Seas.
Wu-Tang, thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. Shout to Ghostface. Shout to Raekwon. Only built for Cuban links. I've been listening to that recently. Play it all the way through. Skits and all. Skits and all. And you can tell one take. You can hear the mess ups. You can hear, you know, the no sounds. You can hear all of that.
Jalen, I'm just so glad that it's not just my questions that you don't listen to and don't answer, that it's also the people that call. You know what I mean? Because I take it personal sometimes. I'm like, dog, I just asked you about the Bucks game. And you're talking about Michelle Roberts. I was like, what is going on in the world? So now I don't feel personal because he calls up and he asks about Dame comparison to Iverson. And you're just like,
also, let me tell you what excellence is. It's take every word that he says as a listener and have a response possibly to every word he said. And don't ignore what he said at the end.
Peace to Half Moon Caesars. Goes to Raekwon. Goes to Ghost of Ray. Goes to you.
So I had to give a hat tip to that.
It's not completely illogical.
Correct. It's not completely illogical. And I'm so very good at this job, I can also transition back to his question and say, it's hard for me to compare Dame and AI. I got a different comparison for AI. I've seen people use Russell Westbrook. I'm going to tell you who reminds me of AI. And it ain't only their game. It is not only their game, because this guy is actually a better passer than AI. But the person that reminds me of AI, it ain't even close. I've been waiting to say this since I played against Bubble Chuck for years.
Let me write this down. I have a guess. I'm going to write it down and show it to you if I'm right.
Okay. I'm going to tell you who's the modern day version of Allen Iverson. His name is Ja Morant. That's his name. He's the modern day version of Allen Iverson. And I'm going to tell you why. When you hear them speaking on TV, just walk out the room or close your eyes. They sound like they're 10, 15 years older than they really are. Pay attention to that trait. That's what they have in common. And how does that translate on the floor? They look faster than everybody else. They look like, wait a minute. At his build, he's about to try to jump over that guy and dunk on him? He gonna try to do that? Like, ain't he like 180, 75, 80 pounds? Like, he's about to attack the bigs the way he does? Like, the in and out move that he, the stutter step on the left wing Ja Morant did against the Phoenix Suns? Your guy and dunked over the top of his head? What's the guy name? One of your white forwards that you love for the Suns?
No, I don't. No, this ain't my guy. He's not my guy. I know who you're talking about. Aaron Baines is who you're talking about, but he's not on the list. He's not on the
right.
list.
Right. Okay,
that's
got
not
it.
That's not my guy. You got to have some game that I like, too. You can't just be white. You know what I mean?
No,
we got more
but
criteria.
But you did shout them out because you saw that they were signing, you know, some white forwards like the Miami Heat.
Sarge. It's one offseason. Then, like, let's get Baines. Let's get Sarge. What's Frank Kaminsky doing? Yeah, let's bring him in. It was like, what is the strategy over there now? Like, we're small ball,
but we gonna let TJ Warren go for cash
ball.
Consideration.
Yeah. But TJ, we don't need him. We don't need him. Kaminsky. Let's see what he got. See if you can bring
Ja
back the Wisconsin
Morant
magic.
Reminds me of Allen Iverson, how fearless. Fast and athletic. And when I see both telling you, I see people that just on the court all day. On the court all day. Allen Iverson, I bet he's on the court all day. Play it. He'll stay out till 5 in the morning, but he write a shoot around 9 a.m. all day.
Sometimes I think that there are similarities between Iverson and Dame. And one of the things I don't like doing cross-era comparisons so much is because if you look at Dame's shot chart and Iverson's shot chart, like, they're almost like inverse. They both get buckets around the basket, but like, it's like if Allen Iverson was teleported to today, he would have to adjust to today's game and it would end up looking like Dame's. But Allen Iverson's shot chart doesn't look anything like Dame Lillard's shot chart. And Allen Iverson had so many mid-range, so many floaters, so many get past my man, floated over the big man. Like, he wouldn't necessarily go to the rim every single time like players do now. He'll get past his guys, see the bigs, and be like, I'm not getting in there. Boop. And then just hit like a little floater, like a little fadeaway, like a 9-foot floating to the baseline fadeaway that just isn't part of today's game.
People that's been with us since day one, you're going to remember me saying this. There was an NBA All-Star weekend where one guy, and it was a point to me because I hadn't seen nobody do this since Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, my former teammate with the Denver Nuggets, who was whiteballed out of the NBA for praying during the national anthem. I tell you what, if we knew that everybody was just going to be get upset about the national anthem, man, we could have saved another 250 years. We should have did something with during the flag a long time ago. With that being said, Dame Lillard during All-Star Weekend, Jacoby, three-point contest, dunk contest, skills competition, and played in the All-Star game. All in the same weekend. That's special.
Mm-hmm.
This season, he's shooting 41% from 30 feet or more. Shots only 30 feet or more. Shout to Kirk Goldsberry. Great follow on Twitter.
I love Goldsberry. One thing I want to say is I think that people – you say you hate stats. And one thing that I do in some ways, I think they're very valuable. One thing that bothers me about them is people always talk about, well, he shoots the blah, blah, blah from three. Oh, George Hill is the best three-point shooter in the league. No, he's not. Do you know what I mean? It's very different when someone creates a play for you, your man leaves you, and then someone passes it to you right in the shooting pocket. You know what I mean? That's very different. They're like, Luka Doncic needs to work on his three. It's like he crossed over three times, went past somebody, and then stepped back behind the line. It was kind of fading to his left when he missed that. Like not versus every PG three and Kawhi. Equal. Yeah, so it's like, and if you're looking at, you're looking at Dame Lillard, like he shoots, it's like 41%. And like those threes, those aren't all just walk up and shoot from that deep. No, like he's going around screens. He went around a screen last night and shot from the logo because they set the screen down, that far out.
Handoff to get you chasing. Yeah,
all of that. Like it's not, those aren't just like, just kind of like Steve Novak threes, you know? Like these are, correct, these are real threes. And I think that not every three and is created equal. And,
but this is another reason why, and you're right, and this is another reason why I hate stats. Because for me, it's when you make them. And I was watching the game. I was watching the game, and the Lakers was up six. Dame Lillard, cross half court, three. Come back down, down three. Dame Lillard, walk across half. High pick and roll, three. Tie game, they get the ball again. Dame come down, shoots another three, and now they're winning. Okay, so those three for me, those, that's 30 points. Okay, it ain't when you do it. It ain't doing it. It's when you do it.
And you know, Demetrius, our producer, was hot on this. Two missed free throws from LeBron. Two missed free throws from AD. Jay, let me tell you something. I'm like a 47% free throw shooter. For some reason, I just can't get it together. I'm a terrible free throw shooter. I rarely go 0 for 2, though. Like, I'll rarely go up, miss the first one and not make an appropriate adjustment. Like, and I'm a bad free throw shooter. If you're those guys, like, you can't go 1 for 2. I get it. You know what I mean? You're not, okay, you're not Steph Curry. You're not Steve Nash. But 0 for 2 in the fourth quarter, again?
So for the pod, dog. So for the pod, let me go deeper into the box score and teach everybody something. There was a big three era in the NBA where the Warriors won championships, LeBron won championships in Miami, Celtics, and with the Celtics, the Cavs. And people try to call me, he didn't have a super team when he was with the Cavs. Well, the Cavs had three all-stars. Two of them was all-stars before they played with LeBron. They're named Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. That's a super team in the East.
And that roster kept getting better every year. Like the first year he got there, it was pretty good. It got better every year.
Okay. So now it's the era of dynamic duels. We keep stressing it, right? So when you look at the best teams in the league, the reason why people don't think the Milwaukee Bucks can win the championship is we kind of question whether Chris Middleton could be the second guy. That's just how this works until you prove it. That's how it works, right? But bettors are a lot more sure initially of the Lakers and the Clippers. Why? Because they consider to have the two best dynamic duos in the game. But the difference in those two teams is the Clippers already had Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell before they arrived.
That's a duo. And both of those guys played well last year.
Correct. And both of those guys score 40 points a game combined. Okay? Their roles are defined. And you know what else they still do? Come off the bench. It ain't like Kuzma, who was starting before, coming off the bench now. It wasn't like everybody's role now has changed. So what you need LeBron James and Anthony Davis to do is to score 65 points a game. That's what you're going to need. If that ain't happening, they ain't getting over 60, they ain't winning this series. I don't need triple-double LeBron against Gary Trent Jr. lobbing it over the top to JaVale McGee. I need him sweeping through, going to the hole. I don't need Anthony Davis drifting once Hassan Whiteside and Nurkic contest. I need him attacking, putting there. They don't even have depth for Portland. Put them guys in foul trouble, slow the game down, and play him at the five. Dwight played some good minutes, but he can't be out there. He just can't be out there against Dame and CJ. When those guys on the bench, you could put JaVale and Dwight in, but as long as Gabriel out there and Hazonia getting minutes, Kuzma got to be playing alongside LeBron and AD and don't even play around. Can't even be wasting those minutes.
And if those changes don't happen, they are not going to win.
They're going to win regardless. You said Lakers in five. You said Lakers in five. Now you're putting conditions on it.
I didn't say anything about my prediction. I didn't say that they weren't going to win the series. I said if those things don't happen, they're not winning the series. So that trumps any of my predictions.
Yeah, I mean, I think those things will happen.
They got to adjust.
The supporting cast.
That's what playoffs is about.
The supporting cast needs, they need to play better, and they will play better. And I felt that LeBron and AD played well. I think they could have been more assertive, especially going to the hole and sort of, as you say, dominate against their men, especially the people that can't guard them. But I will also say that if things keep trending this direction, right, Adam Silver in the middle of the night switches Morris Twins. Telling you, right in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, They both get knocks on their door, like, come with me. Come with me.
You got to use that on Get Up on First Take when we do it again.
Yeah.
That's a good
Adam Silver, he's going to switch Morris Twins. It just came to me. Because you
that
see,
was, that I, was too good Marcus for me to even great. Steal.
Marcus,
that
Marcus
was too
is
good
great.
For me to even steal.
Yeah, you can't do that. Because the Clippers are looking good. Lakers need a little help. We want to see this LA Western Conference Finals. We got to switch the Twins.
I'm going to let you That's live it. With that one. I'm going to let you live with that Yo, one.
I like when I say something funny and makes you laugh. The first thing that goes in mind is like, all right, am I going to steal that one or not?
Am I going to steal that one? You do it to me? Imagine.
Am I going to steal that one?
You've gotten a chance to sit down next to the Dr. Dre of basketball for the last 10 years and learn the game.
Oh, we got to end the pod.
I know when you get around your peeps, you the smartest dude. When you with your doctors and when you out there playing rec ball, I bet they be looking at you like you the swami. They like, Jacoby, please tell us what's going to happen in the series.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jalen.
Signing autographs, taking pictures. You a star, man. I love you. You handsome now. Your money made you look better, dog. Money made Jaylen. You look better.
Yeah, Jalen.
You look like money now, dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to end the pod. Jalen's ego getting too big. It's too big.
How? I'm big up in you. I didn't even say nothing about myself. I didn't even say one thing about myself. I'm up in you. I said you said something smart. I even said I'm not going to steal it. I said you look handsome.
And you said I'm you so look lucky. Great. I'm so lucky to spend 10 years with the Dr. Dre of basketball. And that I must be amazing.
Tongue in cheek.
Oh, yeah.
Tongue in cheek. Okay. Tongue in cheek.
I don't think any of us, you know what? I'm going to say something for real, for real. Neither of us really know what tongue in cheek means.
I know,
we use it all the time. I was like, oh, I'm just saying that tongue in cheek. Like, so are you joking? And you're not, you don't really mean it. Like, I don't really know what tongue in cheek means. I think it's a jokey joke.
I think it's the opposite of saying it with your chest. That's how I use it.
I think it's a little, I honestly don't know, to be honest with you, but I think it's a little, it's like a joke, but there's a little bit of truth to it. It's like a little sarcastic, but a little not.
Correct.
It's just a little tongue
in cheek. It's a joke with sarcasm. It's a joke with sarcasm based on some truth.
It also sounds like a sexual position that lady would practice with those 7 NBA players. And we will leave it.
I hope her family members and her,
Oh, imagine the dad. Imagine the dad sees
I feel bad for her family, man. I feel bad.
His dad's at the work site or the office or quarantine.
You ready for this?
Group chat.
You ready for this? Before we end the pod, we got to end the pod.
I know what you're going to say.
That's his favorite team.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say something worse. We'll be back tomorrow if we didn't get canceled for the things we said on this podcast. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.